Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma Daf Samach Vav, and we're in the middle of a discussion as to why Rabbi Yehuda holds, in the case of the shkolim, that if you have extra set of shkolim, the shkolim that you originally sent were lost, then you found them again. In that situation, we learned on Samachay Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yehuda had said, "Olim lehen lushon haba," they're able to be used for the following year. However, what should have been a seemingly parallel case, if you have an extra par of the of Yom Kippur or an extra sar because you had designated another pair, you have to do another hagrola, or you have sire avodah zara when the Tariat Sibur did something incorrectly in regards to avodah zara with the guidance of the Sanhedrin, and we said they brought an extra sar because the first one was lost. So in all of these situations, Rabbi Yehuda says it's tomus; it must be left to die. It's put into the kippah. He closed the door, and the animal will die. So how come there seems to be this stira between, in the case of the shkolim, review that said you're allowed to go and use the money for next year, whereas in the animals, you can't. So we've given several terutzim. Each one was shlugged up. And we begin today, El Omar Rava, about 6-7 lines down from the top, Samach Vav on Aleph. Here's the answer as to why, if you have a second par for Yom Kippur, because the first one was lost, and then you designated the second one, now you have two of them, or if you have two Sar Lashems, for example, why you can't use them for next year, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but you must have them be Tomus. So El Amar Rava, Rava says, Gezeira Mishum Takola. The whole purpose of this is a Gezeira that maybe, Rachmana Litzlan, it's going to lead to a trouble, a Takola, a problem, if we leave this animal around. Someone says, why is that? So the Tanan is the Gersa that we have, but the Masorah Shas tells us it should be the Tanya. Ain Makedishin, a person today, nowadays, Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so it's forbidden for a person to be Makdish something. When you're donating something to the Beis HaMikdash, so only the Beis HaMikdash can use it. It doesn't mean that you give it to a nice charity if the Beis HaMikdash can't use it. You're not giving it to your local shul. You're not giving it to your local yeshiva. If you're donating something to the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Beis HaMikdash Nebuch nowadays. And therefore, as Rashi points out, if you donate something, shum dovar shestam hektish to bet a kabayis, ve'elem takon, it belongs to the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash. What are they going to do with those funds? Nebuch, for the last 2,000 years, those funds would be sitting there just causing potential trouble. People might use them. People might be mauled with them. So therefore, do not donate something to the Beis HaMikdash nowadays. It would have no purpose. Vein marichin, erkiah life, a person donates a certain value based upon gender and age of a person to the Beis HaMikdash, so don't do that as well. That's no difference than being maktish something to the Beis HaMikdash. It goes into the gizbar, and there is no gizbar today, and there is no availability of using those funds, and it's just going to be a takol. It's just going to lead to trouble. And likewise, nowadays, don't do something called the cherem. Now, there is a machlokes, the Gemara in Erech and other places, as to what it means if you donate something as a cherem to the Beis HaMikdash. So one opinion says it goes to the Kohanim. Okay, that actually would be able to be done today. You could give something to Kohanim today. But this opinion goes with the idea that it goes to Bet HaKabayis. So when you're making something a cherem for Bet HaKabayis, again, it's the same problem as Makdishin and Marichin. There is no possibility to use these funds nowadays because there is no Beis HaMikdash and it can't be used for something else. So that's why this Brisa tells us a person should not be makdish, marich, or machrim something nowadays. What happens if somebody didn't listen? There's always people that don't follow the rules. V'im hikdish, v'herich, v'hechrim. If somebody, in fact, did any one of these types of donations to the Berek HaBayis, so you're in a lot of trouble. So if you donated a behema, if you donated an animal, so teyokir, the animal is going to have to be, quote, uprooted. That means, the Gemara will tell us, you put it into the kippah, you close the door, and the animal will starve to death. In other words, you're not allowed to go and feed this animal, and we don't want it to hang around because of the potential for takala. That's what Rav is telling us. Gezeira mishum takala. So if you donated an animal to the Beit HaKabayis, so you're going to have to let it die. If you donate peiros, fruits, or ksus, or various types of clothing, or kalim, various types of utensils, so again, they belong to the Beit HaKabayis, but the Beit HaKabayis can't use them, and nobody else can use them, so therefore, yirkavu, you let them go and spoil, and they'll rot, and they'll decay, and then there'll be no longer a problem. If you donate money, most money doesn't spoil. Uchle matlis or metal utensils, they're going to stay around for a long time. So what should you do? So now we have the girsa yolich hano liyam hamelech, that a person should go and give the value of this. You redeem this, let somebody buy it. That goes then to chulin. The item then becomes a regular chulin item, and the money becomes consecrated. Now that money, you take that money, yolich hano liyam hamelech, and you throw that money into the yam hamelech. So if you sold kli matchas, you redeem them, had them redeemed for the money, or if you just directly have money, so you throw the money into the Yam HaMelech. Others just have the girsa, this is the Rashash and the Dikduke Sofrim, they just have the girsa that Yolich li Yam HaMelech, you throw it straight into the Yam HaMelech. The Yam HaMelech is a salty body of water that it doesn't have a lot of people fishing in it because there are no fish there, and therefore you can just make sure when you throw it into the Yam HaMelech that nobody will come and take this, and therefore it's as if you destroyed it. Now, there are different girsos over here that suggest that you could just say over here that it goes to any yam. It's not lav davka the Yam HaMelech. This could include either other salty bodies of water like the oceans, the Mediterranean Sea, etc., or it just could be any yam. There are those that say that if you throw it into a regular yam, however, you have to grind it up first. But otherwise, a regular yam would be good, or the Yam HaMelech, again, the whole purpose is that nobody should come to take it. By the way, the Braisa then says, what was this behemot te'oker? I already told you what it meant. The Braisa says, e zehu ikur. What does it mean, the behemot te'oker? It means noel delis l'nel. You put it inside a kippah, you put it inside a closed room, you close the door behind it, it's going to die of starvation because obviously it's not going to be fed. Now, what do we see here? That in all of these situations, you have to go and make sure that anything that you did donate to the Bet HaKabayis is not used by anybody else. Now, takola demai. What exactly is the color that we're concerned about over here? If we leave these animals around, either from the Hekdesh, the Marichin, or the Machrimim, or in our case, we had the extra par for Yom Kippur, or the extra Sorel Hashem for Yom Kippur. What's the potential takkola? Takkola demai. E takkola dakrova. If we're concerned, oh, maybe he's going to go bring it as a korban. So wait a second. Afil kol rios nami. So then, anytime you have something that is not able to be brought as a korban, and we say yira achi yistaya, let it go out to pasture until it gets a mum, and then we will go and sell it, and once it's sold, it loses its kedusha, and then it can be eaten, it can be shechted, and until then, you just have to wait till it gets a mum. So why aren't we concerned in that situation that a regular animal that's yira achi yistaya, that somebody who's a little bit too zealous is going to go take that and bring it as a korban? If that's what your concern is over here, that we have the extra par, or we have the extra sorel Hashem, and somebody's going to mistakenly not wait till next year to use it, but he's going to use it now and bring it as a korban, how is it any different than any situation of yira achi yistayiv? So, afilu kol reos nami, any animal that's left to pasture, that was hektish, is left to pasture till it gets a mum, the same concern should apply there, that takola da hakrava might occur. Ah, you're going to tell me, itakola the geez of avoda. Oh, maybe somebody's going to go and shear it or work with it, which is not allowed to be done with an animal of hektish that's waiting to be sacrificed. So if we say, let's hold on to the par for next year, or the sorer al Hashem for next year, and you're concerned that, oh, somebody's going to come to shear it, or somebody's going to come to work with it by accident. So again, how is this any different than every animal that's yirachi yistayet? Afilu kol rios nami. Every single animal would have the same exact concern. So why is this specifically a concern for the par, according to Rav Yehuda, and the Sorel Hashem, that we can't leave them until next year when we do this for all other animals? So Gemara says, no. Taka liolam takola dakrava. The real answer was the takola dakrava. We're concerned that you're going to go and bring it as a sacrifice. But there's a huge difference between an animal that's yirachi yistayet and the par of Yom Kippur that's we use it next year, and the Sorel Hashem of Yom Kippur that we want to use for next year. These two korbanos are going to still be korbanos. As opposed to Yirat Shiyistayiv, it's not going to be a korban. V'hanaf delav bnei hakrova ninu lo torid bu. Hach debas hakrova hi torid ba. There's a huge difference over here. An animal that there is no potential for it to be brought as a korban. These are waiting to have a mum. Nobody's waiting to bring them as a korban. And therefore, there's little chance that somebody's going to mistakenly go and bring this as a korban. However, the Sorel Hashem and the par that is extra, that we're waiting, instead of using it this year, Yom Kippur, because we had an extra one, so we're going to use it for next year, Yom Kippur, so these are animals waiting to be brought onto the Mizbeach. So an overzealous person might say, hey, these are waiting to be brought. What's the delay? Let's bring them. And they're going to bring them as a korban. As opposed to the Yirat Shiyistayiv, there's no potential for them to be brought as a korban, so the likelihood that they'll be, by mistake, brought as a korban is null. And that is the final answer for why Rabbi Yehuda differentiates between the money from Shkalim, which can be used for next year, and the par of Yom Kippur, and the Sorel Hashem of Yom Kippur that can't be used for next year and must tomus. Natik Murray says, by the way, v'takola atzmo tanoihi. This whole concept, though, we're concerned about this takola, not exactly a machlokis tanoim, as we have two brises. The first one says, the Tanya Chodo, the first brise tells us, if you have a korban pesach, shelo korab berishon, for whatever the reason, they weren't able to bring this korban pesach on the first Pesach on Yudalid Nisan. So it's somebody else needs it, Yikra Bisheni. If the original owner doesn't need it, so then he could sell it to somebody else who needs a Karban Pesach and let it be brought on Pesach Sheni. If it wasn't brought on Pesach Sheni, Basheni, for whatever the reason, it wasn't brought then, so Yikra Lashon Haba. The Tana here says we're not concerned about Takola. Bring it next year. Hold on to it for next year and bring it next year. No. Another Brisa says otherwise. V'tanya idach, a Brisa tells us, lo yikrav, you're not allowed to go bring it next year. Now, the second Brisa seems to be concerned that you're going to go and bring it too early. And if you bring it too early, that's a problem. Now, well, the Mefarshim asks, why is it a problem if you bring it too early? We know that if you bring a Korban Pesach any other time during the year, it's a Korban Shlamim. So what's the big takola over here? You're telling me, my lab takola pligi. You're telling me that we're concerned here about takola. The second price is concerned about takola. The first price is not concerned about takola. But there is no takola over here because it's okay. So you bring it early. It's a Korban Shlamim. So the Mefarshim answer that no, you only can bring it as a Korban Shlamim if you uproot it. You have to physically say, I'm going to go now and uproot this from being a Korban Pesach and bring this as a Korban Shlamim. And that wouldn't be done in this situation, and therefore there is a takkal here as well. So the bottom line is, the Gemara says that this machlokis between the first brisa and the second brisa isn't that the machlokis of do you or do you not concern yourself with takkala. The first brisa does not, and the second brisa does. Of course, it's not necessarily so. Lo, in fact, kulei alma. Now here we put in the brackets, and in the Masoras Hashas he brings this down for the Mashar that we add the word lo chayshin al takola. Both of these brises, in fact, are not concerned about takola. So what is the machlokas then? V'ha'cha b'pluksu de Rebbe Rabbanu kamivli. This is the same machlokas we had at the end of yesterday's shir as to how we calculate a year. If an animal is only allowed to be brought the first year of its life, do we say that that's 365 days from its birth, or do we say that no, that is the same exact birthday on the lunar calendar? So if the animal is born Aleph Nisan, so then its 1 year comes up Aleph Nisan next year. But if it was only a 12-month year, so then the solar year would be an extra 11 days. Again, lunar year is 354 days in a non-leap year, and a solar year is 365 days. And therefore, there's an 11-day difference. So if an animal was designated to be a carbon and has to be brought in the first year of life, so Rebbe would say that first year of life extends to 365 days, and the Chacham say it only extends to 354 days. If it's a leap year, if there's an extra month of Adar, so then it also extends. You get the benefit or the detriment of having a 12 or 13 month year, according to the Chachamim. According to Rebbe, it's always 365 days. So therefore, these two brises are arguing within the opinion of Rebbe and the Rabbanim. Velokasha, there's no steer between the two brises because Ha Rebbe, Ha Rabbanim. The first brisa goes like the opinion of Rebbe. He says you're not worried about bringing it next year because it will still be within the first year of life. So it has that 11-day difference because it has to be 8 days old at the time of its birth and 11 days difference. So 8 of the 11 days are used up, but there's still 3 extra days. So as long as you designated it right before Pesach, let's say on Yud Gimel, you designated it as Korban Pesach, so next year it still will be able to be brought as a Korban Pesach. So the first brisa says, I'm not worried about bringing it next year. It's still within the first year of life. And the second brisa, which says, no, you can't. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. It said, no, you go by the actual calendar, the lunar calendar. And therefore, if it was designated Yud Gimel Pesach, the next year it's already going to be in its second year of life and can't be brought. Igor says, but that's a hard answer for us to accept, to say that they're not arguing about Takola and they're arguing with the opinion of Rebbe and the Rabbanim, because Vatanya, that Brisa continued and said, V'chein ha-ma'os, the same halacha applies in regards to Mos. As Rashi points out, if somebody was mafrish le-pesach, him money for his Korban Pesach, so you can't use that next year. According to the first Brisa, you can. According to the second Brisa, you can. So here it's talking definitely about money. So how can you tell me it's the first year of life and that has nothing to do with the difference of opinion between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Elalav Shmami, no, the Gemara therefore says, we must be saying that the only way to reconcile these two brises is b'takola pligi, that the first brise is not worried about takola, the second brise is worried about takola. Shmami, no, that in fact is the right answer. And taka, this concern of takola is a machlokes tanoyim. Now we go to the next mishnah. We continue along in the activities of the day. The Kohen Gadol has to do all the activities on Yom Kippur, and we continue along with the activities of the day. So now, Balo Eitzo Sora Mishtaleach. We finished off all the blood applications of the Sora Lashem. So now, it's time to deal with the Sora Mishtaleach. The Sora Mishtaleach is the Sora Lazazel, as we mentioned many times, and it's going to be sent outside. We'll learn more details about exactly how it's taken out by the Ish Iti, that special person, we'll see it's usually a Kohen, that was designated to take the animal all the way outside the encampment and push it off the cliff. So now, the Kohen Gadol has to go to the Sar Mishlech and do a vidui on it. He does smicha on it. Smicha is pressing with all your weight with both your hands in between the horns, according to the Tiferes Yisrael. And you go and say the following vidui, Mizvada. And he says this vidui. On Hashem, we've had this similar vidui earlier. Some have the gear, so on Hashem the first time, and then on a Bishem the second time. Others have the gear, so like we have it over here, on Hashem both times. So he says, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chotu Ovu Poshu. That's the girsa that we have. That he says it in the Chet Ovum Pesha, which is going up in severity. Chet, again, is a sin that you did by accident. An Ovun is a sin that you did by purpose because of Taiva, because you couldn't control your desires. And a Pesha is a sin that you did, Tzilahachas, you did it to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, I put the examples in as follows. A Chet would be if a person ate something that was treif without realizing it. He thought it was kosher, but it was really treif. That would be chait. An avon would be that he knew it was treif, but he was starving. And it wasn't because of hashos, but he was hungry. And he smelled it, it was delicious, and he couldn't control himself and he ate it. A pesha was, there's a cheaper, better tasting, kosher hamburger there. And he says, bedafka kodesh baruch, I'm taking the non-kosher, more expensive, less tasty hamburger, just in your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rechmona Litzlan. So that's a Pesha. So this level goes up. That's Chet Avon Pesha. You first say the less serious, then the more serious, and then the most serious. However, the Bach brings down that that's not the Girsa that we had previously. While this Chet Avon Pesha is the opinion of the Chachamim, previously in the series of Mishnayos, we were following the order of Rav Meir, who says you follow the Pasuk, who says, Nosi Avon Vafesha Vechatov and Akei. So you have Avon, Pesha, and Chet. And that's the order that it should be over here as well, to be parallel with the order that we had previously. In any event, whatever the order is, either Chet Avon Pesha or Avon Pesha Chet, he says, we have sinned as Klai Yisrael, we have sinned before you. This soil Azazel is certainly being Mechaper for Klai Yisrael. We had a Machlokis, is it also being Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon? Is it also being Mechaper for the Kohanim or not? We'll see this a little bit in a moment. But in any event, the Kohen Gadol says, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your people have sinned. Chotu Avu Pashu, Avu Pashu Chotu, Lefanecha, Amecha Beis Yisrael. Your people have sinned. Please, Hashem, on Hashem, or on a Bashem, some of the Girsa. Kaper no, please bring a kapara. And again, we have Lachatoyim, Lavonos, Lapishoyim. That goes with the Chet Avon Pesha approach. Others have the Girsa over here that will be Lavonos, Lapishoyim, Lachatoyim. Again, like Rav Meir. Shechotu, Vishavu, Vishapashu. Same exact thing again over here. We have the Girsa like the Chachamim. Others have the Girsa, Shavu, Vishapashu, Shechotu, like Rav Meir. Lefanecha, Amcha, Beis Yisrael. We've sinned in front of you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kakasubasaurus Moshe Abdecha, as it says in your Torah, Lamor. Now some don't have the Girsa of Lamor. The Dikduke Sofrim in the Melech Shlomo say that the word Lamor doesn't belong here. As it says in your Torah, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper alechem l'tareschem michol chatoseichem l'vnei Hashem titaru. And much of this, as you see, is in our Yom Kippur Nusach of the Tefillah, because we go through the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in the Tefillah. Unfortunately, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we say, in the Nusach of the Davening, what would have happened to fulfill the idea, Uneshalma parmas vaseinu. As we say every morning in the Korbanos section of the Davening, She yisiyach sifsoseinu choshuv mekubul merutza lefanecha kilu ikravnu karmen atomid muado. So by saying all the Nusach of the Yom Kippur service on Yom Kippur, so it's as if we're fulfilling the actual bringing the Korbanos. Meir menu mitzvah Hashem. This year, we shouldn't just be saying these words, but we should actually be seeing them in the Beis HaMikdash HaBenu Yah. The Mishnah continues and says, and then, Va'kohanim, V'om, Omdim Bazora. So all the people, the Kohanim, and all the people that gathered there in the Beis HaMikdash, that are standing in the Azara, again, it was an unbelievable nes that everybody was able to fit into the Azara. And the Sfasemis asks an important question over here. He says, how come the Kohen Gadol also doesn't bow down when he says the shame of Hashem? He leaves it with the Tzarech Iyun. In any event, the Mishnah says, the Kohanim and the Om that are standing in the Azara, when they heard the Kohen Gadol say the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very, very interesting. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim says that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it came out of the mouth of the Kohen Gadol. That's why this strange lashon, Shu Yotze Mipi Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol didn't actually say it. It came out of his mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyocho, said the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said the special shame of Meforish. Some say it was the actual saying of the Yud Kei Vav Kei as it's spelled, and not, we pronounce it Ado and we use the shame of Adnus, but it was the actual Yud Kei Vav Kei as it spelled out. Others say that this was a 42-letter shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, when he would say this, everybody, Hayu Korin u'mishtachavim v'nofel al pneihem, everybody would bow down, and they would fully lie flat, and they would say, as they were bowed down, the Omrim Baruch Shein Kivol Machos Oli Olam Vo'ed, because in the Beis Hamikdash you didn't say Amen, this is the Nusach that you would say. Now, the Gra deletes some of this over here, and the accepted custom, however, is that we do say all of this on Yom Kippur. In any event, the Mishnah continues and says, after this is done, the vidui is done by the Kohen Gadol, so he hands it over to somebody else. Misarol lemisho yom olicho. He would hand it over to the ish iti. That's based upon the psukim. We'll see what that means in a moment. He would hand it over to the person who would be in charge of bringing it all the way out to the cliff and to push it over the cliff. Now, Hakol Ksherim Loholicho. Technically, any kosher yid would be allowed to go and do this. It didn't have to be a Kohen. However, here we're going to have the gears that we have. Elo She'asu HaKohanim HaGdolim, the Kohen Gadols, they got together, and Kaiva, they set up a rule, V'lo Yom Inichin Yisrael Olicho, and they didn't allow a regular yid to go, they specifically allowed only Kohanim to do this. Now, the gears that we have is She'asu Kohanim Gedolim. This is also the gears of the Rambam, and this is brought down in the Dikduke Sofrim, Shetolu Zos B'Kohanim Gedolim, Lefisha Kohen Gadol Hayomosu L'Meshalech, because B'davka, the Kohen Gadol, handed it over to this Ish Iti, and therefore they were the ones that set up this practice of only handing it over to a Kohen. However, if you look in Rashi over here, he's not gorious the word Kohanim Gedolim, and he would have it that the regular Kohanim, according to Rashi, it wasn't the Kohen Gadol that set this up, all the Kohanim got together, and they were Koveya, that they should be the ones to take out the Sor, that they should be Bedavka the Ishiti, and not let a regular Yisrael do this. Now why? Why would they not let a regular Yisrael do this? So in the Sefer Tosus Chadashim, he brings down a very interesting idea based upon the Medrash. That based upon the pasuk says ish iti shegiya zmano shel ish zeh lomus toch osu shana. The Medrash tells us that the person who was the ish iti would die during that year, and they would try to pick somebody that was a terminal illness or was not expected to live, because the Medrash says that he would die during that year, and therefore they didn't want to go and pick a Yisrael and say, well, you go and do this, but let the Kohen himself be the one to go and do this. Now, why were they so specific about this? So he brings down a very, very interesting idea that we are allowing, technically, a Kohen to go and bring to Shech the regular Korban. The Avodah technically starts only with the Kabbalah, but a regular Yisrael is technically allowed to do Shechita. But the Kohanim said, no, we want to do the Shechita. So therefore, the Kohanim basically said that all of the korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash should be shechted by a Kohen. And that's because they were zealous to do the avoda. But here, if they weren't equally zealous over here, the Ishiti, he may die, so let the Yisrael do that, so then that would be a hypocritical approach. So therefore, they bedavka said, no, just like we insist that a Kohen do all the avoda, so even the good avoda, so to say, like doing shechita, also the Ishiti, that's definitely going to be done by a Kohen. What a beautiful idea. In any event, the Mishnah continues and says that technically anybody could go, but the minhag was either established by all the Kohanim or by the Kohanim Gedolim that Bedavka would be a Kohen who would be the Ish Iti. And now we have a Maisa Shahoyah, Amr of Yossi, Maisa Volicho Arsala, the Yisrael Haya. One time it happened that a Yid, a regular Yisrael, whose name was Arsala, he was the one that did it. So some say Rav Yossi is arguing with the first opinion and says, see, that it wasn't true. Others say, no, this is the exception that proves the rule. Only one time did a Yisrael do it, and that's technically allowed, but most of the time, in fact, Rav Yossi is agreeing that a Kohen did it, and only one time it happened that a Yisrael did it. In any event, the Mishnah concludes and says, V'kevesh osulo. They also made a kevesh. Kevesh is a ramp that would extend all the way from the Azara to go outside of Yerushalayim. And this way, they did this mipnei ha-bavliyim, because of the bavliyim. Now, the Gemara will explain that it's not talking really about the bavliyim, but they use the bavliyim as a pejorative term. We'll see it's talking about the people from Alexandria. In any event, we'll see this in the Gemara. And they did shahayu metalshin bisaro, that they would go and rip the hair out of the Kohen, the ish iti, that was taking the Sar Lazazel, and tell the Omilo, get out of here already. Tol Vitzay, you're delaying getting our Karpara. So they would actually, Rashi says, they would grab at his hair and they would go and encourage him to get out of there. But this was harmful and dangerous to him, so they built this ramp so they couldn't reach him. That's the simple understanding that Rashi has. Others, however, learn it out that they would actually pull at the hair of this Sorel Azazel and potentially cause a mum to it, and as a result, so therefore they built this ramp to prevent them from making this a blemished animal and problems that would result if it was a Baal mum. Okay, the Gemara starts off and says, V'ilu b'nei Aaron am kidoshecha lo kamar. As I pointed out, it said in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol would ask for kapara, she'avu, she'poshu, chotu, again, the different gear souls, l'fonecha amcha beis Yisrael, that the people of Klai Yisrael sinned. Now that seems to imply the Klai Yisrael and not the Kohanim. So who is the author of our Mishnah, Mantana? So Amar Yirmi says, this is a machlokus we had earlier, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is the Sorer Lazazel, the Sorer Mishtaleach, mechaper only for Klai Yisrael, or is it also mechaper for the Kohanim? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's also mechaper for the Kohanim, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, they get their kapara separately from the power of the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah tells us now that our Mishnah doesn't go in accord with Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, the local Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah clearly is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rabbi Yehuda, if it was Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amar Yeshlem Kapara B'Sar Mishtaleach. He says that the Kohanim do get Kapara from the Sar Mishtaleach. And Rabbi Shimon is the one that says that they don't. So our opinion of our Mishnah must be in accord with Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests. However, Abaye says maybe not. Abaye Amar, no. Afilu Tem Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could still be in accord with Rabbi Yehuda. Because look what the words. It says that this should be a Kapara for Amcho Yisrael. And Abaye says, Otu Kohanim la b'chal Amcho Yisrael dinu. Who says that this excludes the Kohanim? Don't read it literally, Amcho Yisrael, meaning Yisraelim, and not Kohanim. It means Klai Yisrael, and Kohanim are included in Klai Yisrael. So Abaye says, Lav Davke, that our Mishnah goes against Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a raya for Rabbi Shimon. It's not a raya certainly to Rabbi Yehuda. It could be either one. We don't have a raya from our Mishnah one way or the other in that machlokas. Then we said in the Mishnah, Misaro l'mishim olicho, the Kohen Gadol gives over to the Ish Iti. He gives it over to the one who's carrying the, taking the Sorel Azazel outside the Yushalayim, outside the camp, to push it off the cliff. So the Gemara now is going to tell us a little bit more about this process. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, the son of Aaron is Shtei Yodav Arosh HaSor. He does the Vidur on the Sor Lazazel. Hachai, that's the live one. The Yisvad Olav, he does the Vidur. Like we said, it's called Avonus B'nei Yisrael. The Yisqol Pishayim, L'chol Chatosam. And now, the Nasan Osam, after he does the Vidur, he hands over the Sor Lazazel Al Rosh HaSor V'Shilach B'yad Ish Iti HaMidbar. And he gives it over to this Ish Iti. We'll explain the word Iti in a second, who carries, takes the animal out to the Midbar. Now, why is he called Ish? Ish Iti? So Ish comes to teach us L'Hachshir HaSazor, to technically a non-Kohen is allowed to do this. As we point out in the Mishnah, that was the case. However, the minhag was established by either the Kohanim Gedolim or the Kohanim that only a Kohen would be the Ish Iti. But minhadin, Ish, comes to teach us that a Zar, a non-Kohen, is allowed to do the Avoda. Why is it called Iti? So we'll have a couple of derivations for the word Iti. We return to Samach Vav Amud Beis. It says Iti, it means Sheyu Mezuman. He has to be prepared before, and he has to be designated before Yom Kippur to do this Avoda. That's why later on we'll see, if he becomes Tamei, nevertheless he's still allowed to do the Avodah, because this was a requirement that he be designated beforehand. So, Iti means Mizuman. Iti also means Vafil B'Shabbos, that it has to be done at a set time, at a specific time, the Ace. Rashi points out that the word Iti means Be'ito, over Moado, has to be done at this set time. So even if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, he does it. More we'll explain in a moment, what's the concern? What Malacha are we concerned about doing with the Ish Iti? He's walking an animal. What concern is there with that? And finally, Iti also tells us, Vafilu Betuma, even if this Ish Iti was Tuma, he's allowed to go into the Azara, which he normally would not be allowed to do, to go and take the Sar Lazazel, the Sar Mishtalech, from the Kohen Gadol and take it outside. Now, Mar says, Ish, Lahakshir es Azor, a non-Kohen is allowed to do this, we just learned. So Mar says, Pshito, why would we think that you need a Kohen for this? Where does it say anywhere that it must be done by a Kohen? So Mar says, no, you might have thought, Mal Detema, I might have said that the word Kapara is written in the Pasuk as well. The Pasuk tells us, L'chaper. So therefore, it is a potential that you might have thought, since it says kapara k'siva bay, then it must be done by a kohen. All kapara is accomplished through a kohen. So therefore, kamash alone, no, the word ish iti comes to teach us that ish, even l'hachshir sazar. Then we said in the Braisa, iti means afilu b'shabbos. So it says, l'may hilchus. So what is the concern? What isurim are we worried about that we need a pasuk to tell me, no, you do this on Shabbos, even though you're going to be mechal Shabbos? What isurim could we be talking about? So Rav Sheshes tells us, Lomar Shimo Yochola, that if the animal was sick and wouldn't be able to walk by itself, so then Markivo Alksefo, then the person would be allowed to go and carry the animal. The Ishiti could carry this Asar Lazozel on his shoulder, and carrying would, of course, be a problem on Shabbos. Now, who does our Mishnah go like? Come on. So obviously, the local Rinosan. When we learned the Gemara in Shabbos, we had a famous machlokas in Rabbi Nosan in the Chachamim as to whether Chai is no seyes atzmo. So Rabbi Nosan's opinion was, the Rabbi Nosan, Ha'omer Chai no seyes atzmo, so there is no Issa d'araisa if an animal can walk by itself. So then if you carry it, you're not over in Issa d'araisa. Oh, Midr Abani, you're not allowed to do that, maybe, but not in Issa d'araisa. So we certainly wouldn't have the Pasuk Iti to tell me that you can transgress an Issa d'Rabbanan on Shabbos to do this. The psukim are only going to come to tell you you can transgress what would otherwise be an issa d'araisa. So according to Rav Nosson, why do we need the word iti? So the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rav Nosson. Our Mishnah could even be in accord with Rav Nosson because chol or shiny, if this animal is sick, so it can walk on its own, and then it's not chai no seyes atzmo. If the behema is unable to carry itself, so then mid-araisa, you're not allowed to carry it either. Oh, kamashulon, the word iti tells you no. In this situation, it is dochas Shabbos. Then we said, Omer Ofram, so Meres, this din that we said that it can even be done on Shabbos implies Erev v'hotzah l'Shabbos, v'ein Erev v'hotzah l'Yom Kippurim, that the Isser of carrying doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, it only applies to Shabbos. And this can be seen directly from the Isser of Hotzah, as well as, by the way, Kedei Nizba, Rashi brings down, this is not necessary because in Erev Chatzeres is all a din d'Rabbanan, but by the way, these dinim only apply to Shabbos and not to Yom Kippur. That's what Rafam wants to learn for this as well, that if it was only a regular Yom Kippur, you could carry it. And that's why you need Iti to tell me afilu b'Shabbos. Now, Tosfos points out, this is not the way we paskin, that we, in fact, of course, paskin, that you're not allowed to carry in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is different than the other Yomim Tovim, and Yom Kippur has the same laws as Shabbos in regards to carrying. Then the Brice had said, Iti afilu b'toma, even if the Ish Iti is Tomei, he can go inside the Azara. Again, what is the concern? My Hilchasus, I already expressed it. Omer of Sheshes, Lomar Shem, Nitmo, Mishalcho, that even if the Ish Iti is Tomei, Nichnas Tomei L'Azara, he's allowed to enter into the Azara while he's Tomei, which normally would not be allowed, to go take it, the Sar L'Azazel, from the Kohen Gadol, U'Mishalcho, and then he can go out with it. And that's because it had to be designated the day before, and you couldn't have somebody else go and do this now. And that is the opinion of the Rabbeinu Eliyakim. Now the Gemara is going to a whole series of questions that was asked to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, as we're going to see from these stories, never wanted to say something that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. So he would try to push aside certain things that were asked to him if he didn't have a direct transmission of Mesorah from his Rebbe. So he would give his own Svarah sometimes, but if he didn't hear something directly from his Rebbe, he didn't like to answer questions. So we'll see. They asked a whole bunch of questions to Rabbi Eliezer, and he seems to give them a brush off, but as I mentioned, he's not really brushing them off. He just didn't want to say over something that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. So Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, they asked Rabbi Eliezer the following series of questions. Chola, Mahu Shi'ar Kibel Ksefo. We had already discussed this now, and we know that the answer is he can carry it, but they asked Rabbi Eliezer, if the Sarah Lazazo got sick, is the Ish Iti allowed to go and carry it or not, whether it's on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos, is he allowed to go and carry it? Now, he'd never heard the answer from his Rebbe, so Amar Lahem, Yochalu L'Harkiv Ani V'Atem. So he somewhat lightly responded to them, and he said, the Sar Lazazel is so strong, it can carry you and me, so don't worry about it. It's not really a question. Again, he didn't want to answer the question. There is an answer to the question. He knew the answer to the question, but since he didn't hear it from his Rebbe, he didn't want to say it. They continue to ask him, Cholo Mishalcho, what happens if the Ish Iti gets sick? Mahu Shiyashalchenu B'Yaracher, can they send somebody else to take his place? So again, Rabbi Eliezer responds, Amar Lahem, Aha, Bishalom, Ani V'Atem. We should all be in peace. In other words, everybody should be fine. The Ish Iti, the Tosfos Yeshanim, on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, said, Halavai, we should be as healthy as the Ish Iti. In other words, it's not going to happen. Again, it could happen. He wasn't saying that it's never going to happen, but he said, don't ask me, it's not going to happen. But he didn't hear this from his Rebbe. He didn't want to give the answer. They asked him another question. The Chof of Lomeis, when the Ish Iti pushes the Sar Lazazel off the cliff and it doesn't die, Mahu Shiyerit Achra V'Yemisenu, does he have to go down and kill it? So Amar Lahem, he says, Kein Yovdu Kol Evecha Hashem. He says, such should happen to all the enemies of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, he didn't want to give him the direct answer. He didn't hear it from his Rebbeim, so he gave a flowery pasuk. And finally, the Chacham Lomim, the Chacham say the answer to all of these questions. Chola, if the soul has also got sick, Markiva walks safe, you are allowed to go and carry it on your shoulders. As we pointed out, Ish Iti comes to teach us, Iti, even to be Mechal Shabbos. Chol b'shacho, if the person who's the ish iti, nebach katzich, so yishachenu yarachin. So yeah, you send somebody else to do this. If he's not able to do it, you can. And finally, the last question, duchofu v'lomeis, if the ish iti pushes the sor lazozel over the cliff and it doesn't die, so then the din is, yeirid achrav yemisenu. He has to go down there and go and kill the animal if the animal didn't die on its own. Similarly, we ask more questions to Rabbi Eliezer. Shaul Rabbi Eliezer the following questions. Ploni ma'ul olam haba. Does so-and-so have the status, this ploni, have the status of being a ben olam haba? Now that's the simple way to understand this. And Rashi points out over here that they were asking him about a general comment, about Adam Echod, Shalu, ma ma'asa ben Echod. What do you think about this guy? But others explain, however, that it's referring to Shlomo HaMelech, and they were asking him, is he a Ben Olam Haba? The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about whether Shlomo HaMelech lost his share in the world to come because of all of the wives that he took and the Avodah Zarah that they did. So of course Shlomo HaMelech did not. That was the conclusion over there, and that's what he was being asked. And others suggest they were asking about Avshalom. Rashi brings down, Shema al Avshalom Shaltuni. Maybe you're asking me about Avshalom. In any event, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, does so-and-so have a share in the world to come? So Amar Lahem, lo shiltuni el aploni. Why are you asking about him? You should ask about him. That's what Rashi was saying. Maybe you're talking about asking me about Avshalom and not about Shlomo HaMelech. But he didn't mention the names. He didn't want to go and answer this question, either because it's inappropriate to have this discussion, or he just didn't want to have something that he didn't hear from his Rebbeim, he didn't want to talk about. The Hagos HaBachir has a little bit more of this conversation that I just gave you, filled in inside, ayin in the Agos HaBach. In any event, they asked him, ma'u lahatzul roa kivsa minari. So they asked him this general question, is the shepherd required to go and save one of the kvasim, one of the sheep, from a lion that's attacking them? So he responded, he said, amalem, why are you asking me about the sheep? You should ask me about the shepherd. Lo shiltuni ela kivsa. Why didn't you ask me about the shepherd himself? So they asked, oh, ma'u lahatzul roa minari. Are you allowed to go to save the shepherd from the Ari? Put yourself at risk. So Lamb says, why are you asking me about the shepherd? Lo shiltuni ela roa. Why are you asking me only about the shepherd? You should ask me about the sheep. In other words, he didn't want to give the answer to the question. Again, Tosos and others over here bring down that this is allegorical, that this is really asking, according to some, about Bathsheba, David and Bathsheba. David is referred to over here as the lion, and Uriachiti, who David ultimately had killed, who was the husband of Bathsheba, so he's considered like the lamb. So they're asking him these questions, did David act correctly or not? So he didn't want to answer these questions because he didn't hear them directly from his Rebbe. They asked him another question, Mamzer Ma'ul Yorish. Is a Mamzer, who is of course from a very, very problematic lineage, but he is the son of the father, of his biological father, is he Yorish, his father? So instead of answering the question, Rabbi Eliezer asked, what about Yibam? Why don't you ask me about Yibam? Ma'ul Yabim. Would he have an obligation to perform Yibam with his brother? He's an immoral child, but he does have a biological brother. And the din of Yibam would theoretically apply or not. So he says, why do you ask me about Yerusha? You should have asked me about Yibam. So again, he didn't want to answer the question. They asked him another question. Ma'ul Lasud is based, so there's a person allowed to go and complete his house. The person builds a brand new house, so you're supposed to leave part of it undone, to remind her of the zecher of the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, is this din applicable nowadays? Mahu losud es beiso. As Rashi points out, bizman is that? Mi osu b'nei tzar churban abayis or not? So he didn't want to answer the question as well. So he asked, mahu losud es kivro. You should have asked me the question instead about going and putting a lime on a grave to mark it so people should become tamei. So that's the question you should have asked me nowadays. When we don't have din mutum and tara, that's what you should have asked me. Now the Gemara says, as I've already told you, lo b'nei shif ligum midvarim. Not that he didn't want to answer the questions and he was being rude. However, elo b'nei shalo amar dovi shalo shama mipi rabo mi'olam. His response was, I don't say over things halacha l'maisa unless I heard them from my Rebbe. Now, that was his approach, and that's why he didn't answer these questions. Now, many of the Mefarshim say, but we do find throughout Shas that he does say things that aren't clearly from his Rebbe. So, the suggestion over here would be that his opinion was famous Gemara that says, "Omer David b'shem Omro, mevi gula liolam." We find this in many different places, where need and other places, that if you say something over the name of somebody else, so that helps bring the gula to the world. That brings about the redemption. So he never wanted to say over something unless he heard it from his Rebbe. He wanted to help bring the gula to the world. So he would say over Davish that he heard from his Rebbe. So that's why he didn't want to answer. If he didn't hear it from his Rebbe, he didn't want to say it over. That's partially explaining it over here. And others say no, that if it was a direct Masora, a din, then he would only say it over to her from his Rebbe. But a Svara, if it was a logical deduction, then he would say that on his own. Now we have another question. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, Shala Isha Chacham is Rabbi Eliezer, a wise woman, once asked Rabbi Eliezer the following Shaila. And she said, "May Achar Shemaiso Egel Shavim, since all the people in Nebuch that sinned in regards to the Cheta Egel, they all seem to do the same sin of worshipping this Cheta Egel, how come the Torah delineates three different punishments? Mipei Ma Ein Misosun Shava, the three different punishments for the people that seem to all do the same exact Avera. Some of them died through the sword, some of them died through a magefa, and some of them died through GI troubles. So what's the reasoning?" She asked Rabbi Eliezer that there should be different punishments for people who seemingly did the same exact avera. Why don't they have the same deaths? So Rabbi Eliezer tells her, again, he pushes her off, he didn't want to give her an answer, he didn't hear this from his Rebbe. So he said, Amalah, he says, "What are you asking me about this? Ein chochma le'isha, the right approach for a woman to be asking these questions is in regards to the things that you're dealing halach l'maisa with. Ella bepelach. You deal a lot with various things to the Beis HaMikdash that you were able, the women, it says they were very smart, they had the ability and the knowledge to go and actually weave the wool of the sheep while it was on the animal's back before they even sheared it." So he says, that's where you should ask your shilas. What are you asking me shilas over here in regards to something that isn't your area of expertise? And this is based upon the pasuk. It says, "V'chol isha, v'chein wabev, v'chol isha, chochmas lev biyodeh tovu." They were able to spin, as I said, the wool while it was on the back of the sheep before they even sheared it. So in other words, he didn't want to answer the question, so he digressed and went off with a non sequitur. Gemara says, "Itmar." In fact, this is an important shaila. Why the people who did the chayt of the ego didn't all die the same way? And we have two answers to this. Rav Levi, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar, one of them said, the reason why some people died in direct killing with a sword was zibeach v'kiter, those that actually worshipped the ego. They actually sacrificed to it, and they slaughtered to it, so then they were killed b'saif. And the people that died with magefa, with the plague, those were the ones that were just gifek v'nishek. They were the ones that hugged and kissed the cheta egel, so the egel. So therefore, they died on a lower level. They were dying through a magefa. And those that were just happy about the egel, somach b'levavo b'hidrokon. They were the ones that died with hidrokon, with this GI illness known as hidrokon. So the different levels of avera that they did, that determined the different levels of punishment. That's what either Rav Levi said. The other one, Chadomar, no. The ones that were actually warned with Hasra, Edim, the Hasra, there were people that said, listen, if you do what you're doing, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. So they said, I'm doing it anyway, and they worshipped the ego. So those people died b'saif. They died with the punishment of Misa from Beis Din, because you had Edim and Hasra. Now, technically, it should not have been saif. It should have been, in fact, Skila. However, this was pre-Matan Torah, and therefore, the Mises Basin was Saif at that point in time. And the next category of people were those that had Edim, but below Asra. Well, there were people that witnessed what they did, but nobody warned them. And therefore, you can't give them Mises Basin. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it into his own hands, and made them die by a Magefa. And the last category of people that died by Hidrokan, there were no witnesses to what they did, and there was no Asra. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them with Hidrokan. Now the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yehuda." Rav Yehuda tells us, "Shifto shel Levi lo avad avodas kochavim." Levi wasn't involved in the chayt egel at all. And how do we know this? Shenema, because the pasuk says, "Vayamod Moshe b'shar hamachane v'gomer." Moshe stood in the camp. Now the v'gomer here is the critical part. There's been many times in the Gemara they cut off the pasuk too early. In any event, it says, "Vayamod Moshe b'shar hamachane," and the v'gomer is "Vayomer mi l'Hashem elai." He asked the people, "Who wants to come with me?" Vayesu elav kol b'nei Levi. As Rashi points out, shekulon b'chlal zeh. So the critical words over here is the entire b'nei Levi. Vayesu elav kol b'nei Levi. That's the raya that none of the b'nei Levi were involved in the sin of the ego. Gemara questions this and says, wait a second. Yosef Ravina was sitting, the Kama Lo Shmaisa, he said over this Memra, and Esve Bidei Rapapa Bar Abba Liravina. So the sons of Rapapa Bar Abba, they asked Ravina, said, wait a second, how can you tell me that none of the Levi were involved in the sin of the Cheta Egel? But the Pasuk says, Ha Omer Lo Aviv Ulimo Lo Reisiv, that if people from Shevet Levi were avenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, so they even went and killed their own parents or their own brothers that were involved in the chayit of the Egel. As the Pasuk says, HaOmer lo aviv lima lo risiv, v'yesechov lo hikir, v'yesbanov lo yodah, ki shamru v'masecha uv'rischayin soru. They stood up to the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it looks like some people from Shevet Levi were in fact killed, because the Levim killed their fathers, their mothers, their brothers, their sisters. So Gemara says, no. Ravina tells the B'nai Rapapa, says, no, you're making a mistake. Those weren't from Levi. They may have been relatives, but they weren't lineage of Levi. When it says Aviv in the Pasuk, it means the maternal grandfather. Avi Imo, who is Mi Yisrael. So the mother didn't necessarily have to be a Kohen or a Levi. So the mother came from the Yisrael stock, and therefore the maternal grandfather is who they're referring to in the Pasuk, Ha'omer li Aviv. It means his maternal grandfather. And when it says, likewise, Echav, it means Echav me'imo me'Yisrael. So the mother had other children from a different husband beforehand, and those were Yisraelim. So his half-brother, through his mother, they were Yisraelim. So therefore, that's what the Pasuk refers to. And likewise, Banav, when it says his children, it means his daughter, when she married a Yisrael. So his grandchildren, through that daughter, are also going to be non-Levim. They're going to be Yisraelim. So Banav, it means B'nei Bito me'Yisrael. So when the Pasuk says that Shevet Levi went and attacked people, seemingly their Aviv, Imo, Achiv, and Banav, so it meant that they were not actual Levim themselves, but these were people that through the women who were not any longer either Levim or never were Levim, so their children or their parents, their relatives, they were in fact Yisraelim, and that's what the Pasuk refers to. Finally, at the end of the Mishnah, we said that they made a kevesh, they made a ramp, the kevesh asulav chule, in order that they shouldn't rip out the hair of either the ishiti or of the sar lazazel. What is this ramp all about? Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, when we said that because of the bodlium that would go and tear this out, so Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, lo bodlium hoyu, it wasn't really bodlium. The people that were doing this were the Alexandrium, Ella Alexandrium Hayu. There was a large Jewish community that came from Alexandria and Mitzrayim. So Bistama, they came up to the Beis HaMikdash, and they were the ones that tore at the hair of either the Ishiti or of the Sar Lazazel. So why did they call them Bablium if they were Alexandrium? When we talk Shesodim is a Bablium. They really didn't like the Bablium. So whenever they needed to use a pejorative term, they called them Bablium. So Hayu Korin also Aushmam, but it really was Alexandrium. And by the way, now the gears that we have is Tanya. Some of the gears are Tanya Nami Hachi. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Bablim Hayu, El Alexandria Hayu. He, Beferi, said that these people weren't Bablim themselves. They were actually from Alexandria. So this actually states Beferi in the Braisa like this. And when Rabbi Yossi heard this, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Oh, Yashakoyach, Tanuach Daitcha, Sheinachtus Daiti. You should be comforted because you have made me comforted. What is this talking about? So the Mepharshim explained that Rabbi Yossi himself came from Bavel, and it bothered him a lot, Rashi says, that they actually were people from Bavel that were doing this not good thing, and therefore Haya Koshal Adover, and therefore he was happy to hear that it really wasn't Bavlim. Okay, he knew that they didn't think much of the Bavlim, so the pejorative term didn't bother him. It bothered him that the Bavlim were the ones that were doing this thing of either ripping out the hair of the Ishiti or of the Sar Lazazel, so he was very happy that it wasn't them. Finally, the Mishnah said that these Bavliim, which really were the Alexandrium, would say, Tov would say, get out of here, take our sins out of here. So the Braisa says, Tona, Ma Shoi Tzefira Dein. They would say to him, why are you taking your time? V'chove Dora Sagin. All the sins of the people of Amcha Yisrael are attached, so to say, to the Sar Lazazel. When you did the Vidoy, they were thinking, so to say, that the sins are attached here. So quickly get rid of this animal, bring it out to the cliff, and throw it off the cliff. With this, we conclude today's share.